Mystery Theater. CBC presents Mystery Theater, a series of strange tales of the supernatural and the unforeseen, of chills and thrills and adventures selected from the classics. Here then, the story of Dream Woman by Wilkie Collins, in radio version by Len Peterson.
Some years ago, there lived in, well, in the suburb of a large seaport on the West Coast, a man in humble circumstances by name Scatcherd.
Yes, Isaac Scatcherd. I'm a stableman, sir. You wouldn't be needing an ostler in your stable, would you, sir? I'm steady, sir, and I think, sir, I'm honest.
But Isaac got on badly in his calling.
You've no opening. You've got a stableman.
And sometimes, off alone in the confines of a stable, to a particularly gentle animal, he confessed one consolation, though of a dreary and negative kind.
Ah, there now. Prince Igor, at least I've no wife to add to my anxieties. And I'm getting on fast for 40. And past 40, I believe a man who's never married is out of danger.
The bleak autumn, when Isaac neared the fatal age, he was, as usual, through no fault of his own, out of a place, but eager to find something.
Mother! Mother! I've heard of a gentleman's estate a day's walk inland, where a stable helper's needed, so I'm off in the morning.
But it's only 2 days before your birthday, your 40th. Surely you want to be here for that?
Oh, I'll start early in the morning, Mother. And whether I get the place or not, I'll be back on Wednesday for my birthday cake.
Oh, fine, so long as you're back by Wednesday.
Arriving at his destination too late on the Monday night to make application for the stable helper's place, he slept at the village inn, and in good time on the Tuesday morning presented himself at the gentleman's house to fill the vacant situation.
My written testimonial, sir, from Geoffrey Ponsonby, Esquire, the last gentleman I worked for, and from the Reverend Derrick Mott Smith, rector of our church.
But they had hired a new man the day before.
Oh. Well, I thank you just the same for coming out to see what I wanted.
He took a different way home, believing it to be shorter, and with only one stop walked all day to leave himself but a short distance for the morning of his birthday. Then, as the night came on and it began to rain and blow, he turned in at the first inn he encountered along the road. An amiable fellow, the innkeeper, and Isaac being the only guest for the night, they supped together on bacon, homemade bread, and ale.
Oh, that was fine. Oh, you know, I work as an ostler mostly, and had prospects this morning, but none tonight. I've had a long run of ill luck.
Well, we're not strangers to that ourselves.
Well, now, sir, there's not an opening hereabouts.
Oh, there's little hereabouts. But come, finish the bottle.
Oh, no. You, sir.
Well, how such a sober man comes to be out of a place is more than I can make out. Well, you never can tell.
At 11, the keeper locked the doors and windows and showed Isaac to his room.
Oh, well, there. Here's where you are to sleep.
Oh, it's very nice.
Our only lodger tonight.
Was that right?
The missus you'll find has done her best to make you comfortable.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Well, good night, sir.
Oh, good night. Good night, sir.
Isaac locked the door, set his candle on the chest of drawers, and readied himself for bed. He felt strangely wakeful, but lay down to listen to the wind's dismal, ceaseless moaning. And before he was aware of it, sleep stole over him. And then there came upon him a strange shivering from head to foot and a sinking pain at the heart, unlike any he had ever known. The pain woke him. The candle had burned down nearly to the last. His eyes were wide open, his senses clear. At the foot of the bed stood a woman with a knife in her hand.
"Who are you?"
She said not a word.
Oh, What are you?
She began to move slowly toward the left-hand side of the bed. She was a fair, fine woman with light gray eyes and a droop in the left eyelid.
How did you get in?
Speechless, with no expression in her face, with no noise, she came closer, stopped, and slowly raised the knife.
Who are you?
She watched the knife coming down and jerked his body over to the right, just as the knife descended.
Who are you?
His eyes watched her arm slowly draw the knife out of the bed, a white, well-shaped arm with pretty down lying lightly over the fair skin.
Why are you here?
She passed slowly to the foot of the bed and then came round on the right side, still with no expression on the blank, beautiful face. She raised the knife again.
Who are you?
He drew himself away onto the left side. She struck just before. Right into the mattress. His eyes wandered from her to the knife. It was like the large clasp knives laborers used to cut their bread and bacon. The handle was of a buckhorn, the blade shiny like new. Drawing the knife out again, she concealed it in the wide sleeve of her gown and stood watching him. But only for an instant, since the wick of the spent candle fell over and the room went dark.
You're still there.
A last sudden flare-up of the candle, the fair woman with the knife was gone. Then utter blackness. The grip of terror which had held him to his bed weakened. And with the dreadful conviction of the reality of what he had seen, he leaped to his feet.
Oh, innkeeper! Wake up! Oh, where are you? Wake up! Murder! Help!
What is it?
Oh, a woman with a knife in her hand. In my room, a yellow-haired woman. She jabbed at me with her knife, tried to kill me.
Jabbed you? Where? Well, let's look. Miss Stewart seems. No wounds on you.
Well, I dodged her each time, and she drove the knife into the bed.
Well, show me. Show me. Where are the cuts? In the sheets of the mattress? Where?
I know. She's
oh,
here.
You and your woman with the knife?
Well, I...
Not a mark in the bedclothes anywhere. Frightening a man and his family out of their wits over a dream.
Oh, it was not a dream. I'm leaving your inn. You're not staying in this room after what I've seen. Leave me your light to get my clothes.
They parted without a word on either side. The rain had ceased, but the night was dark and the wind bleaker than ever. Isaac couldn't make anything out of the mystery. The creature of a dream, was that what she was? The lady with a knife? Or a creature from the mystical world? A ghost. All night he walked, and at noon arrived back home, pale and weary.
That you, Isaac?
Yes, Mother.
And in good time. Happy birthday, son. Oh. And this sweater I've knitted for you.
Oh, that's lovely.
But you don't look happy.
Well, I didn't get the place with the gentleman. Oh. It was already took. Oh, that's my luck, isn't it?
But not like you to be downhearted.
I'm not about that, Mother. I had a dream last night.
Oh?
Or saw a ghost. And I'm still not my own man.
Well, your face frightens me. Come in by the fire. Tell it to me, all that happened.
He hoped she might offer an explanation that would sort out his confused but vivid memory of the night. She interrupted him with not a word, but grew paler and paler as he spoke.
And so I left and ran till I was a mile and more away, with several hills and a good thick wood between me and the inn.
And that was this morning, Isaac?
Aye.
And the time when you saw the fair woman with the knife in her hand?
Oh, somewhere about 2, as near as I can remember.
2 in the morning?
Aye.
Why, it's the hour, Isaac, 40 years ago that you were born. 2 in the morning, your first outcry.
And what do you make of it then, Mother?
Oh, I don't know. I'm an old woman, and you're not one with much of a memory. Come, I'll get pen and ink and paper.
What for?
I want all about your dream, all that you've told me, and anything else you can remember. I want it all written out. So that years from now, any number of years, we'll still have it.
Right.
What did she look like? You haven't told me that.
Oh, well, now, let's see. She, She'd light gray eyes with a droop in the left eyelid. Flaxen hair with a gold streak in it. White arms with down upon them. Oh, yes. Little lady's hands with a reddish look about the fingernails. And she held a clasp knife with a buckhorn handle, good as new.
Buckhorn.
Isaac marveled as he watched his mother set down on paper everything he said about the mystery until he could think of not a detail more. To these, then, she added the year, month, day, and time in the morning when the woman of the dream appeared to him.
There. That's done. Now, we'll put it away in the writing desk. Lock it up and forget about it.
She spoke of the dream no more on that day nor any other. And time gradually wore out the impression produced on Isaac himself by the dream. He began thinking of it carelessly and ended not thinking of it at all.
I never dream. I haven't dreamt since I can't remember when.
Then his luck changed.
I've got a place, Mother. Oh. Head stableman to a fine gentleman.
Let's hope, though, nothing goes wrong and it lasts.
It lasted for 7 years. He left only on the death of his master and was given a comfortable pension as a reward for saving his mistress's life in a carriage accident. He returned to his mother, who was failing in health. But she rallied for his birthday when it came around and was able to get up comfortably at table and dine with him.
Many happy returns, son.
Oh, thank you.
You've been a good son.
I hope so, Mother.
Now, hand me my tonic medicine. A dose after every meal, or I'm in distress. Oh, the green bottle.
Oh, there's nothing in it.
Of course there is.
Empty? Not a drop.
Oh, dear. Then you must hurry along to the chemist and get me another bottle, or I'll be ill.
Yes, Mother. Right away.
On going into the chemist's shop, he was passed hurriedly by a poorly dressed, frantic-eyed woman coming out.
Oh, pardon me.
Pardon me, I mean.
Good evening to you, Isaac. What can I do for you?
A bottle of this tonic for my mother.
Large size?
Yes, please. That woman.
Oh, something about her, eh? Something wrong. Oh. She was asking for laudanum for a bad tooth.
Oh, no.
Master's out for half an hour, and I told her I'm not allowed to sell poison to strangers.
That's right.
She laughed in a queer way and said she'd come back. But if she expects Master to serve her, she's in for a disappointment. I'd say a case of suicide, if ever I saw one.
Oh, my.
Your mother's tonic.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
11 pence.
Oh, well, here, thank you.
All right. My best to your mother, Isaac.
Thank you. Good night.
She was walking up and down the road opposite the chemist, the lady wanting laudanum.
Pardon me again, madam, but you seem, are you...
Am I what?
In distress.
In this torn shawl, scanty dress, crushed, dirty bonnet, I look like a comfortable, happy woman, don't I?
Tell me, who are you?
Does it matter?
It does.
My name is Rebecca Murdoch.
Oh, and the cause of your, distress?
You've heard it many times. Go to any court and listen to the dreary cases of the young women down on their luck.
You're penniless, homeless, friendless.
I have 9 pence left, which I shall spend at the chemist's over the way to secure a passage to the other world. It can't be worse to me than this.
Miss, you'll not spend your last pence on poison.
Will I not?
I'll not let you.
No?
If I follow you the rest of the night.
Then you'll not need to.
Yes?
Your speaking kindly to me has given me a fancy for living.
Dare I trust you?
Come to Fuller's Meadow tomorrow at noon, and you'll find me still alive to answer for myself.
Well, here's a shilling. No, 2 shillings.
No, not money. My 9 pence will get me as good a lodging as I need.
The next day he went to Fuller's Meadow. She was there, smiling and rested.
And ready to answer for myself.
When a man, till then insensible to the influence of a woman, forms an attachment in middle life, he is seldom capable of freeing himself from the tyranny of the new ruling passion.
Do you like daffodils?
Very much.
The charm of being spoken to fondly and gratefully by a young woman was a dangerous luxury to a man at that middle time of life, when strong feelings of all kinds, once implanted, strike root most stubbornly.
When may I see you again, Rebecca?
A few more stolen trysts on Fuller's Meadow during the month, and Isaac was pleading...
You become my wife, Rebecca.
I have no one else. I made that plain to you.
Oh.
And it's far, far better than laudanum and death.
Mother, I've met a girl.
A girl?
Or I mean a young lady.
What are you trying to say?
Well, she wants to marry me. Or, I mean, I want to marry her. We. Her name's Rebecca Murdoch.
Oh, my son, my dear son. Someone, a woman to comfort and care for you after I'm gone.
Oh.
I've worried about you, about that, these past few years especially.
So you're not upset, Mother? But please...
Bring her to me. Let me see her, so I can grow fond of her quickly. What did you say your name was?
It was a bright and sunny morning, and the little cottage parlor was full of light as Mrs. Scatcherd, happy and expectant, sat waiting for her son and future daughter-in-law.
Here she is, Mother.
Ah, bring her in, bring her in. I can't wait to see her, to embrace her.
Mother... This is Rebecca Murdoch.
Mrs. Scatcherd, I'm so pleased.
Rebecca, my son has... No. No. Surely not.
Mother, why are you so pale? Frightened looking.
Not frightened. Terrified.
Why?
Isaac, that woman's face. Doesn't it remind you of anything?
Remind me of what?
My writing desk. Here, take the key and open it.
What is this? Isaac, why am I treated as if I had no right to be here? What is this?
Stand, open the desk and give me the paper in the left-hand drawer. Quick, quick, for heaven's sake.
This drawer, Mother?
The left, I said, left.
This book?
No, the paper under it.
This?
Yes, that. Let me see it.
You don't just disapprove of me, Mrs. Scatcherd. You despise me. The woman your son has chosen for his bride, his wife. Haven't you hung on to him long enough?
Rebecca!
Oh, back to your mother!
Isaac, yes, come back here. For your sake, not mine, come in and shut the door.
Why did you terrify her like that, Mother?
She did more than that to me.
Why did you drive her away?
The eyes of a mad woman. Come, let me show you something. Read this.
Read what?
The paper you fished out of the drawer.
Light gray eyes, a droop in the left eyelid. Flaxen hair with a gold streak in it. Why, that reminds me of...
Read on.
White arms with the down upon them. Little lady's hands with a reddish look about the fingernails. Why, that's an exact word-for-word description.
Read on.
The dream woman. Isaac's dream woman.
The woman in the nightmare you told me about years ago.
But it's Rebecca, too. My bride-to-be. Aye. On my birthday, 7 years ago, in that lonely inn. That same face. That woman. That strange woman. But how can Rebecca be her?
Oh, be warned, my son. Be forewarned. Isaac, let her go. Get rid of her. Don't see her again. Stay here with me.
I have promised to marry her, Mother.
No, you've changed your mind.
No, Mother. I must follow her and marry her.
Oh, you two are mad. Mad.
I must, Mother. I must.
And leave your mother brokenhearted, Isaac.
Oh, I must.
Three weeks after that day, Isaac and Rebecca were man and wife. All that was hopelessly stubborn and dogged in Isaac's nature seemed to have closed round his fatal passion and to have fixed it forever in his heart. But after some quiet months of married life, as the year moved on toward the month of his birthday, Isaac found his wife altering toward him.
Why didn't you tell me your mother was impossible?
She's not.
What? She's not. But I am.
She grew contemptuous and sullen. She sought oblivion in drunkenness.
Rebecca!
Leave me alone. Go to your mother. Go on.
Yes, my son. I have heard. I know.
What?
How things are between you and Rebecca. Fetch me my coat and hat.
Oh, you're not going out.
I've not long to live, Isaac. And I don't want to leave my son unhappy. I mean to put my own fears out of mind and go with you to your wife and see what I can do to help her. Give me your arm, Isaac.
Here, Mother.
Let me do the last thing I can in this world to help my son before it is too late.
Rebecca? Dear, you home? A visitor, a guest.
Who is it?
My mother.
Oh.
I wish to say I have been very unjust to you, Rebecca. Forgive me.
I was just cutting some bread and was about to lay the table. Will you eat with us?
I shall be pleased to.
The meeting passed off better than Isaac had dared hope, though he noticed with some apprehension that his mother was still unable to look at his wife directly.
I can hear the kettle boiling in the kitchen. Excuse me.
Isaac. Isaac, take me home.
Oh, your sickness coming over you again, Mother.
Take me home and come with me and never return here.
Why?
That breadboard, son. On the table?
So?
You didn't notice what she cut the bread with? Look under the bread.
Yes, the knife she...
Don't touch it!
Why not? Oh, this is silly, Mother.
Then pick it up. Go on. Isaac, pick it up.
Why?
You don't dare! It's the knife of your terrible dream. The new knife with the buckhorn handle.
No, it's not.
Then pick it up!
I don't want to.
You can't!
No, I can't, Mother. It is the knife of my dream.
Oh, Isaac, I faint with fear. Take me away before your dream woman comes back out of the kitchen.
Where did you disappear to, you and your mother, without a word to me?
I took her home.
So it's as bad as ever.
Where's the knife you cut the bread with?
Why do you want it?
I can't say.
Then you'll not have it.
Where did you get it?
I bought it with my own money. It's mine.
Give it to me.
No! You fool! No!
Let me have it!
Afraid now to sleep in the same room with Rebecca. 3 weeks passed. His mother grew gravely ill.
My last plea to you. Don't go back to her, son. Don't go back.
And his mother passed away. 10 days short of his birthday.
Delightful news. I'm coming to the funeral.
Rebecca, you are not...
At your side.
That last and final outrage. No!
No man has ever struck me twice, and not even my husband shall have that pleasure. From this day on, Isaac, we see each other no more.
Rebecca!
Returned from the funeral and waited all night for his wife's return. The next night, overpowered by fatigue, he lay down in his clothes with the door locked the key on the table and the candle burning. His slumber was not disturbed. The third night, the fourth, the fifth, and sixth passed. The seventh night he lay down in the same manner, with the door locked, the candle burning, but easier in his mind. He fell asleep, but woke, disturbed by that never-to-be-forgotten shivering of long ago and dreadful sinking pain at his heart. Oh. His eyes opened, and there stood on the left side of the bed...
The dream woman! No, it's Rebecca, my wife!
The living reality with the dream specter's face, the fair arm up, the knife clasped in the delicate white hand.
Ah! No! Rebecca, no!
Yes!
Yes. Forced her back into a chair and reaching up a loose sleeve where the dream woman had hidden the knife, he found it. It was the new knife with the buckhorn handle.
You have told me we should see each other no more, and you have come back. It is now my turn to go, and to go forever. I say that we shall see each other no more, and my word shall not be broken.
He left her and walked into the night.
Two o'clock of who knows what day. A week since the funeral. 10 since. Why, it's another of my birthdays. That was that dream long ago. Was it a warning? Have I escaped the deadly peril? Or was tonight another warning? Rebecca, though I've left her, should I keep watch on her? At least I have the knife.
It was still dark. He returned to the house, but waited outside until daylight.
Rebecca?
He looked in the kitchen, the scullery, the parlor.
Rebecca?
Then, up into the bedroom.
Rebecca?
Empty.
But what's this?
A picklock lay on the floor, betraying how she had gained entrance in the night. It was to remain...
my last and only trace of Rebecca, or the dream woman, or both.
Mystery Theater has presented Dream Woman by Wilkie Collins. In radio version by Len Peterson. Production and direction, Gene Bartels. In the cast, Claude Ray as Isaac, Cosette Lee, his mother, and Joyce Gordon, Rebecca the Dream Woman. Sidney Brown was heard as the innkeeper, and David Yorston, the young clerk in the chemist's shop. William Osler was Collins, the narrator. Sound effects were by Alex Sheridan. Technical operation, Robert Burt. This is Bill Lorne speaking.